Hello and welcome to The Sun Will Rise. I'm Roshan Mohammed Saleh. After Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party gained most seats in parliamentary elections on Tuesday, the right-wing incumbent prime minister looks set to form another coalition, ensuring his continued grip on power. Netanyahu is the man, among other things, who's launched devastating wars on Gaza and who's overseen a huge increase in settlement building on Palestinian land. On today's show, we'll be dissecting the Israeli election result from a Palestinian perspective. What does Netanyahu's victory mean for the people of the West Bank, Gaza, and Jerusalem al-Quds? And what does it mean for Palestinians in Israel itself? But first, here's Amina Taylor with a brief reminder of what happened after the election results were announced.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's right-wing Likud party claimed a shock victory after the elections, securing 30 seats in the 120-member Knesset. It was a surprising result, as the exit polls had indicated that the supposedly center-left Zionist Union and its leader Isaac Herzog were neck and neck with Netanyahu.
Against all odds, we achieved a great victory for the Likud, a great victory for the nationalistic camp led by the Likud.
I spoke with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I congratulated him for his achievement. I wished him luck. But it must be clear that for the citizens of Israel, the challenges remain the same. The problems are the same. Nothing has changed.
The Zionist Union ended up securing 24 seats. And the United Arab List, formed by the Arab parties Yu'al Ta'al and Balad, and the Jewish Arab party Hadash, became the third political force in the country for the first time in history, by picking up 14 seats. The parties came together in January to unite and weaken the Zionist stronghold over the Knesset. Netanyahu, who is in the sixth year of his political leadership, only swept a victory in a last-minute dash for votes by promising there would be no Palestinian state, to expand Israeli settlements in the West Bank, and warning about the threat posed to Israel by its Palestinian voters. As the voters went to the polls, Netanyahu posted a video on his Facebook page with an incendiary warning that a high turnout of Palestinian voters in Israel could threaten his party's hold on power. He said that the right-wing government is in danger. Arab voters are heading to the polling stations in droves. Left-wing NGOs are bringing them in buses. Netanyahu had been lately facing growing criticism for his handling of domestic politics and also a controversial anti-Iran speech he made at the US Congress on the 3rd of March. He now faces the task of assembling a coalition government in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
To discuss and debate what the Israeli election result means for Palestinians, we have two guests in the studio with us today. Sharif Nashashibi is a widely published and sought-after journalist and Middle East analyst of Palestinian descent. And Haim Brashit is a film studies scholar, filmmaker and photographer based at SOAS University here in London. After growing up in Israel, Haim now describes himself as a peace activist and anti-Zionist. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in today. Sharif, if I can start off with you, just ask you for a general reaction to the Israeli election result.
Oh, well, the reaction on social media so far, certainly among Palestinians and those sympathetic to them, is one of dismay. But I fail to see the reason for this dismay, because this implies this fundamental misconception that right-wing Israeli governments are worse for the Palestinians than centrist or leftist governments. Mm. Every Israeli government has enthusiastically pursued the entrenchment of the occupation and colonization of Palestine.
The same policies, but in different ways.
Yeah, the difference is over style, not substance. So, in fact, in a way, centrist and leftist governments are more dangerous because the international community gives it the benefit of the doubt that it doesn't deserve. But on the ground, it doesn't matter who is a part of the Israeli government. It's the same policies that Palestinians have to go through.
Chaim?
I think that if there was a so-called left-wing government, because it's not really left-wing, it would have some credentials that it didn't earn. And basically, it'll be easier to sell the same racism in America, in the West. Mm. If Herzog was the prime minister, it's very difficult with Netanyahu. But, actually, Herzog criticize Netanyahu for not being brutal enough in Gaza. So they don't have any differences of opinion when it comes to the Palestinians. We know who won the election, and we also know who lost the election, the Palestinians.
Why did Israelis vote for Netanyahu in the end?
Well, it's a very racist country. It's a very racist society. Netanyahu he pressed all the racist buttons, including on the election day with that that Facebook clip. So he knew, basically, he knows best how to use fear and to frighten people with racist slogans, and that's why they voted.
Sharif, were you following the Israeli campaign a little bit? Would you characterize it as racist?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he pulled out the big card at the last minute that Arabs were coming to vote in droves. This was classic racist fear-mongering. And I think that contributed greatly to giving him his win. And also, you know, his blunt statement that there would be no Palestinian state under his leadership, which again, social media was all over this. But again, he said similar things in the past. And if you look at his government policies, it's very clear. He has always been against the Palestinian state. Mm. So, you know, people jump on these statements without actually thinking that you know, these are just statements that we've seen, you know, time and time again.
Yeah. But I mean, both of you are saying that there's no difference between Israeli left and right. There's no difference of substance anyway. But ultimately, the Palestinians in Israel would never have voted for Netanyahu, would they? Everyone would have preferred somebody, anyone apart from Netanyahu.
Well, that's true. But unfortunately, the Arab parties in the Knesset are, they're just ignored. You know, these Arabs are given a vote in Israel almost as a token benefit of citizenship. You know, these parties, at the moment they gain more seats in
14 seats. That's not bad, is it?
Yeah, but no Israeli government has ever included an Arab party in government. They refuse to. So these parties are almost, you know, these Arabs are given this token benefit of voting without actually having any real influence on government policy.
Can the Arab list 14 seats? Can they influence Israeli policies from within?
No, I don't think they can, and I don't think they ever did. And there is an argument, a strong argument, for boycotting the Israeli elections, and about 40% of the Arab voters boycotted it. And the percentage was even higher in the past. Now, because of the United List, a lot of Arab voters, and indeed some Jewish voters, people like me, would vote for that list because they believe that's the only democratic force in Israel. But of course, they would not be in any coalition. Nobody will ask them for advice or for recommendations on government. None of the forces want to ever include them. So,
and in a way, they kind of legitimize so-called Israeli democracy, do they? Kind of.
I think that there is here some change. 14 MPs is a huge achievement. And if every Arab actually voted, there will be more than 20 MPs.
Yeah.
And I think they should do that, but then refuse to go to parliament, like people in Northern Ireland did.
We're going to pick this up in a few minutes' time. We're going to move on for the moment. Because a few days before the Israeli elections, our reporters in the West Bank of Gaza, Mona Kandil and Ashraf Shannon, pounded the streets to get the views of Palestinians on the upcoming elections. Here's what people told them.
We, as Palestinians, have experienced and witnessed all Israeli politicians from the far right to the left, and all of them treat Palestinians in the same way. They don't want to give the Palestinians their rights. So it doesn't make any difference to us whoever wins the elections.
Nothing ever changes, and the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank will pay the price for these elections. In Gaza, we're faced with wars, and in the West Bank, there'll be more settlement building and the Judaization of Masjid al-Aqsa and Jerusalem al-Quds.
Palestinians in Israel should vote in the elections because the more voices they have in the Israeli parliament, the better it is to protect their rights and make their voices heard.
I believe that Palestinians in Israel shouldn't vote in the Israeli elections because they are Palestinians and they shouldn't get involved in Israeli politics or support Israeli political parties.
The Arabs' presence in the Knesset with more seats this time will help a lot. They will be able to demand equality in Israel, and also they'll be able to fight against the wave of racist legislation and laws that have targeted the Palestinian Arabs. They also might be able to influence any peace process.
The Palestinian issue is always present in the Israeli elections, especially in their propaganda, which focuses on dividing Jerusalem al-Quds. There is also a lot of exaggeration in the Israeli electoral campaign, which serves the right-wing elements who try to gain more votes from their extremist supporters in Israeli society.
The Israeli regime has always followed the same aggressive and brutal policies against the Palestinians since the Israeli Labour Party first came to power, and at the time when Yitzhak Rabin was the Israeli Prime Minister. They're occupiers. No matter who wins, all of them have the same policy. We shouldn't expect any of them to help the Palestinians. The most important thing is that we, the Palestinians, must be united and raise our cause and defend it.
The Israeli elections will never affect the Palestinian reality, and this is why the Israeli parties have been busy in their campaign focusing on social issues and the collapsed economic and security situation in Israel itself. The right wing is known to be more frank and more extreme towards the Palestinians. However, historically, the left wing has always dragged the Palestinians into meaningless negotiations that have lasted for years without any results.
I just want to pick up on a few things that came out of that report. I mean, one, I think we've already covered with the difference between the left and the right in Israel. I think we've already covered that. But the second thing that people were slightly split on was whether Palestinians in Israel should have voted in these elections. What's your stance on that, Sharif?
It's a difficult dilemma, and it's one that's faced by lots of disenfranchised minorities worldwide. It's a classic issue of, do we take part in the system and try and change it from within, or do we boycott it and avoid legitimizing a broken system? This is a very difficult dilemma. I don't have a fixed stance on this. I see both sides of the argument, and yeah. But I don't think it's for anyone to demand that people vote or not vote. People should decide with their conscience whether they want to take part or not.
I think you do have a fixed position on it, don't you, Chaimi? In terms of, I mean, generally, Arabs in Israel vote far less than the general population does. I think it's something like 50%, isn't it? Whereas normally it's 60 to 70% with the other people. What is your fixed position?
Well, like Sharif, I think that I can't tell people what to do, but I'm actually heartened by the United List, because this is for the first time uniting all the Palestinians inside Israel beyond one list. And that is quite valuable. Now, ironically, this came about because they tried to keep them out of parliament altogether by this racist legislation that Lieberman has suggested. However, Lieberman is almost out of parliament, and the United List has increased from 11 to 14. I think what it tells us is, first of all, that uniting the Palestinians is a case that gets support from them. And that's why there is a larger support. It also got support from Jews, who are real democratic people.
It wasn't just Arabs that voted for them.
Right. Yeah, but it was mainly Arabs.
Yeah.
Now that actually for me is something for the future to think about, because that means that maybe once this whole story of the two state is dead and buried, because it is already dead, it just needs to be buried, we can start talking about the PLO solution from the 1980s, before they changed, which was a one secular democratic state in the whole of Palestine, where everyone is equal.
Is that on the agenda? Is it coming back
well,
to the agenda?
Well, it wasn't on the agenda, but in a sense, it's on the agenda because of the United List.
Yeah.
Because this is a list that says to Jews as well as Arabs, vote for us. We are for democracy and equality.
Okay. Sharif, I want to break this down now. All right, Netanyahu's back in. He's going to form a coalition. I mean, what will that coalition look like? Will it be with other right-wing Israeli parties?
Yeah, I mean, he can easily choose from other right-wing parties. I mean, this, and we keep saying this, that this is going to be probably the most right-wing government in Israeli history. We keep saying it because it just keeps getting more right-wing. I think that's what, you know, he's going to have easy pickings from
so what does that mean specifically for the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza and Jerusalem?
Well, he made it very blunt. No Palestinian state. we're going to see, as with every Israeli government, more settlement expansion. They've already promised more settlement expansion. Checkpoints, house demolitions, the entire spectrum of human rights violations are going to continue. It's going to be business as usual.
And more wars on Gaza, presumably.
Yes, yes.
Would you agree with that thing?
I'm sure this is correct. And unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be in Israel a force that can stop it. Mm-hmm. And outside, the international community is totally paralyzed when it comes to Israel because of the United States. So I'm quite negative about the result.
And Israeli politics is moving inexorably towards the right, as Sharif says. Is that correct? Or
well, it was always moving towards the right. There isn't a goalpost.
Yeah.
They always move the goalpost more to the right.
Yeah.
There isn't a final destination.
There are some people are saying that this election will be more about kind of the terrible state of the Israeli economy, internal issues, social issues within Israel.
It wasn't.
But it seems to be more about.
It was about who. Is more extreme, and Netanyahu is more extreme, and he won. And of course, you can't actually compete with him in extremism.
So the number one issue is still security for Israelis.
Well, I don't think it's even about security. It's about who is the strong man.
I mean,
and he was a strong man.
The election throughout were portrayed as being focused more on social and economic issues. But what swung it for him at the end were statements that had nothing to do with those things. Mm. It was about the threat of Palestinians and Palestinian citizens of Israel. That's what swung the election for him, not social or economic.
Because it was
if the election was about social issues, he would have lost.
Yeah, because it was kind of a dead heat, wasn't it, in the last few days in the poll, 27 seats each, and then he pulls clear in the last few days. So as you say, his words might have been decisive. Again, we're going to conclude in a few minutes, but we're going to move on for the time being. Your views and your comments are an integral part of this show, and we always try to prioritize your input on our social media pages. So here's Camelia Shambayati with what you've been saying about the Israeli elections.
On this week's Social Media Roundup, we asked our viewers on Facebook for their thoughts on the Israeli elections. So let's check out a few of your comments. Jamila from the US said, "There shouldn't even be an Israeli government, let alone an election. Let's stop legitimizing their so-called political system." Another viewer shared his outrage. Mohammed from Jordan said, "Nothing is going to change. The next regime will probably get worse. They will keep destroying and killing more and more Palestinians." And if we take a look at one more comment, Steve from France said, "The Israeli elections are a farce. Palestinian lives will just be terrible in a different way. The goal remains the same. They want all of Palestine." Also circulating on social media this week, there's been a flood of tributes for Rachel Corrie, a pro-Palestinian American activist who tragically died 12 years ago. She was crushed to death by an Israeli bulldozer while non-violently protesting the impending demolition of a Palestinian home in the Gaza Strip. Her family issued a statement on their website reflecting on their ongoing struggles for justice and on the failure of Israel to hold itself accountable for her death. And finally, looking ahead now, an aspiring humanitarian aid campaign called the Gaza Toy Drive has been launched to provide children with new toys, educational items, medical aid and clothes after the traumatizing war on Gaza, which killed over 2,100 Palestinians, including 578 children. The campaigners are appealing for the rights of Palestinian children to a normal childhood and the right to play. They're hoping to raise £5,000 in the next month to make their delivery of goods to Gaza. And that's all the social media news I have for you this week. Please be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter to keep up with the latest on the show.
Okay, before we kind of conclude this final section of the show, I just want to ask you about the kind of parties that Netanyahu will probably seek to go in coalition with. I mean, are these religious right parties? Extremist settler parties? What are
basically
they?
Basically, there are no left-wing parties apart from the Arab parties in the parliament. Mm. So they're all right-wing parties.
Okay.
Now, some of them are secular or more secular, and some of them are more religious, but they're all right-wing. There are two religious parties. They're very right-wing. They said to begin with that they will join Netanyahu, and they will join
him. More right-wing than Netanyahu?
The same. Mm. Now, there are two other parties which are more right-wing than Netanyahu, and that's Israel Beiteinu, and which is Israel is our home, and Beit HaYehudi, which is the Jewish home. The names are very interesting. Now, those are supposedly more right-wing than Netanyahu, which you would agree, is very difficult to be. Yeah. But they've managed. So basically, they are sparing each other about who is more right-wing.
Right.
Together, they have 66 or 67. The votes of soldiers are being counted, and they are always more right-wing than the rest. So they probably have 67 out of 120. So this is a very cozy arrangement. I may say that if he was very bright, he would go for Herzog as a unity
government.
But
that's not going to happen, is it?
It's not going to happen. Yeah. But of course, if he did, then Herzog would actually whitewash all the crimes for him in the international community. This is not going to happen.
Which is what Livni did in
of
the
course,
previous
yes.
Yeah. Sharif, let's talk about Mahmoud Abbas in the West Bank. I mean, it's probably obvious how kind of Hamas and Gaza will react to the news. What do you think Mahmoud Abbas is thinking?
Well, the Saeb Erekat, the chief negotiator, put out a statement, you know, obviously expressing upset that Netanyahu was re-elected. I think this may galvanize the PA to pursue avenues of statehood outside of this ridiculous peace process. I think that will galvanize it. It will be interesting to see whether, you know, the PLO made a series of decisions recently, such as cutting security coordination with Israel, agreeing on a boycott of Israeli goods. Nothing's happened so far. Perhaps they were waiting for the election results to see what happened. So there may be action on that as well.
So it might be a good thing because, if Herzog had got in, they would have pushed for more endless negotiations, wouldn't they? Mm. So this actually might push them in another direction,
yes,
you feel?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. But again, we don't want to get to a point where when there's another government and Netanyahu is out, that suddenly the whole world is going to think, oh, yes, you know, everything's good again. We can continue this peace process.
Okay, how do you think the international community, when we talk about the international community, I really mean the West, Israel's allies in the West, how do you think they're feeling about Netanyahu getting back in?
I think they're feeling under pressure a little. Obviously, not just Obama. Obama is obviously not feeling very nicely towards Netanyahu, and quite rightly.
They don't like each other, do they?
But you know, they both are right in a sense, yeah. Because you know, Netanyahu is not easy to get on with, obviously, for anybody. And I think even the British government is finding him difficult. But they will continue to support him. So I don't think we can wait for the governments to do anything. I think the public needs to do it. Right. The public that did actually get apartheid in South Africa finished is the public that can finish Zionism, but not the government. We can't wait for the governments to do that.
Sharif, final word to you.
I agree. Yeah. I think, I mean, on the grassroots level, Israel will be more isolated internationally. But that the grassroots sympathy for the Palestinian cause is not yet translating to changes in government policy in the West. Mm. What will be very dangerous is a Republican victory in the next US elections. Mm. You will have a Netanyahu Republican alliance in government. Mm. That will be really
That's
dangerous.
Very likely.
Okay. Yes, likely and very dangerous.
Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in today and very concise answers. We rattled through a lot of stuff over the last 25 minutes. Thank you very much. That's all the time we've got for today. Once more, thank you to all our guests, and don't forget to get busy on social media telling us what you think of the issues raised in this program. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time for more discussion and analysis on Palestine. Bye-bye.